Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the July 12, 2018 meeting of the Code Enforcement Board. Meeting will now come to order. Madam Secretary, may we have a roll call?
Mr. Whittaker?
Here.
Mr. Harrington?
Here.
Ms. Howell?
Here.
Ms. Hines?
Here.
Ms. Pendick?
Here.
And Mr. Jones?
All right, Mr. Jones is not here. Motion to excuse Mr. Jones.
So moved.
Motion from Ms. Himes. Second, Mr. Weatherholtz. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Has everyone had a chance to read the minutes?
Yes.
Okay. Any additions or corrections? All right. The chair will accept a motion to approve. All right. Mrs. Himes made a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Second, Mr. Harrington. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, does anyone need to disclose anything ex parte? Okay. Madam Secretary, do we have announcements?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
In case number 5, 04-1834 at 2031 Schulte Avenue, compliant. 6-26-2018.
Case number 6-05-1845
at 29 Goodall
is in compliant 7-9-18. Wait,
that was case 6 too? Case 6.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
Case number 7-06-1856 is in compliant for 1320 Peachtree Road on 6-26-2018. Case number 9. 06-1860-2031 South Peninsula is in compliance 6-26-2018. Case number 10 actually was listed as being in compliance, but it is not in compliance, and you will hear it. Okay. Case number 13, 07-1867-606 Cannon Street is in compliance 7-6-18.
Okay. Thank you. Case 13, under new cases, 7-6-18.
Correct.
606. Okay, would our code officers please come forward and be sworn in? Okay, everybody, here's our procedure. We will be calling cases by number and for the most part in order as they are listed on the agenda. If there are any attorneys that must be in court, we will hear those cases first. If there are any police officers who must get back to assignments, we'll hear those cases in the beginning too. When your case is called, please come forward and be sworn in. State your name and address for the record. If you are not the owner of the property, please state your relationship to the owner. Our proceedings are recorded, so please speak into the mic. The board hears from code officers first, and then you'll be given the opportunity to respond. Direct all responses to the board. Witnesses may also testify following the same procedure. Normally, we take a break at 11. I think we'll be finished by 11 today if we just move on through. So I don't see any reason to go out of order today. So we'll start with our lien review is number 6 on the agenda. Lien review 1, CEB 01-18-08, 1222 Essex Road, Kalil Land, LLC. Respondent here?
Get your name. Aaron Blake, 16745, Hamlin Court, Claremont, Florida, 34715.
Do you sound with the law firm that the testimony that you're about to provide is from the federal?
Yes.
Okay. Let us hear from our code officers first, our attorney.
Madam Chair, members of the board, Anthony Jackson, attorney for the City of Daytona Beach. This is before you for a lien review. The inspector who handled review of this is Mark Jones, and Mr. Jones reports that now the property is not in compliance. But as you can see from this lien review, the respondent was first notified back on October of 2017. This was an interesting set of events because it went for a period of time and he was doing stuff, but there was this apparent anticipation of a tenant that would leave, and then the tenant didn't leave, and so this ultimately became a too little too late type of situation. And so fine was imposed, a lien was imposed in April, $200 per day effective April 12th. Just the fact that it was $200 a day suggests that, you know, there was a point where apparently the board had enough. And by May 3rd, compliance was met. But at that, by then, it had accrued to $4,200. The staff is recommending a reduction to 50%, which is $2,112.
Okay. Mr. Blake, what would you like to tell us?
It's finally over.
Yeah, that's good.
You graciously gave me till, I believe, April 12th to get the guy out of the property because we hit a point in the remodel where he wasn't being cooperative anymore and wouldn't let us in the house to do the interior things, which the list was very long. So I made a deal in May. I offered him $1,000 cash to be out by April 4th, and he accepted. April 4th came. He didn't get out. He instead presented me with an offer to purchase the house and a pre-approval letter from a lender, which I was skeptical, and I called the lender, verified as best you can, and it seemed legitimate. So I did two things on April 4th. I signed a sale contract, and I also had my – I got with a lawyer, Barry Walker, and had him start working on the eviction papers. So I did both at the same time. A week went by. The financing did not work out, so we proceeded with the eviction without delay. At the end of April, the papers and everything was done. I brought the eviction to the guy's doorstep, and he begged me for 2 days. The reality is I couldn't force him out for another couple days anyway, so I gave him 2 days. May 1st, he calls me and says he's out completely. May 2nd, I changed all the locks, took possession of the property, and then on May 3rd, at that point, Mark came and reviewed it, and the tenant was out, so there was no more tenant-related issues, which was the only code violations at that point in time. So then, since then, we've been working full force on the actual remodel, which we couldn't even begin until May 3rd or 4th, thereabouts. So you guys were more than gracious. You gave me plenty of time. I learned a lot. The main thing I learned, unfortunately, is you can't work with people under these circumstances. You have to evict. So I did not ever imagine that if you offer somebody $1,000 and they say, yes, I will be out, that they wouldn't do it, and then instead be evicted. So, I mean, I have nothing else to say other than my lesson learned. I don't want to be in the rental business at all. And if I ever find myself in this position again, I'll just start the eviction day one, and that'll just be the end of it. So, you know, I would just ask that you put yourself in my shoes, and I ultimately got the person out. I'm in the process of fully remodeling it, which isn't related at all. There's no current violations. And I just ask that you would kindly waive the fines. I understand there's, from Mark, there's some administrative costs that the city has incurred, so that's understandable, but I would ask that you waive the fine parts and let me just focus on getting the property cleaned up and sold.
Now, we're looking at these pictures. Could you put those back up again, please, Mike? What's that big?
Oh, that's all gone. I hauled, after the tenant got out, I brought a dumpster back in, and I hauled another three loads of dumpsters.
Okay, so what's that right there? Look to the right.
That's the after picture you're looking at right now.
Okay, that's after. So you cleaned up everything that was on the right-hand side of that picture.
Oh, yeah, it was a lot. I don't know where the guy got all this stuff, but it was three 20-yard roll-off dumpsters more after he got out, in addition to the four we already hauled out from just the outside. So I don't know where he got all the junk. It was not a pretty sight, but it's all gone.
Yeah, okay. Now, you have an Orlando address, is that correct?
I live in Claremont, Florida.
In Claremont, okay.
Yes, ma'am.
You said at some point that you weren't aware of what was going on at the property.
Inside the house, how bad it was in there.
Because you had just driven by, you hadn't...
Correct. Originally, when I first bought it, it was just a foreclosure. I bought it on the county's auction website. And when I bought the property, he contacted me, said he was the previous owner, said he wanted to rent it, and he started renting it. And so that's how we got into the rental situation. He was a very persuasive man, and every time I met him, of course, his kid's there, and he's there. And
so he's gone now?
Gone, long gone.
And all you're doing is remodeling?
Correct.
Okay.
And we'd done a lot of outside work. We put a new roof, new windows,
mm-hmm.
fixed the AC.
Okay.
We did everything we could without going inside and throwing all his stuff away.
Okay.
So.
Any comments from the board?
When he first rented it, you didn't go into the house?
I didn't even look at it. It was a $30,000 house, and the man said he would do X, Y, and Z, and he did up until
You'd never been inside the house?
I didn't have a reason. He was the previous owner. He said there was no repairs. He didn't want anything. He didn't ask
for
anything.
Well, you had a reason. You plunked down
$30,000. Yeah. Well, he had a reason. It was terrible, and he didn't want me to know it was terrible.
Okay.
I know that now, but... You know, I took the man at his word, and lesson learned.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Take people at their word and then go verify it. So.
Any other comments? Okay. The chair will entertain a motion to reduce the amount of the lien to $2,112, subject to being paid within 30 days, or the fine will revert to the original amount. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
A motion by Mr. Harrington, second. Second, Mr. Weatherholtz, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now we'll move on to our continued cases. Case number one, CEB 05-18-50. Trustee for the 867-869 Winchester Street Land Trust. Respondent present. Okay, please be sworn in. State your name and address for the record.
James McHugh, 354 Lake Victoria, Melbourne, Florida.
Yes. I didn't get your last name.
McCune, M-C-K-U-N-E.
Okay, and what was your address?
354 Lake Victoria.
Where's that?
Melbourne, Florida.
Okay. Thank you very much. All right, we'll hear from Mr. Jackson first, then we'll give you a chance to speak.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is Barbara Collins. Ms. Collins reports that this property is in violation for business tax receipt and rental license. It had a inspection on 7-3 that it failed. The things that need to be taken care of are relatively minor. It's scheduled for reinspection on the 16th of July, and so she's asking that we amend to the next cutoff.
Okay.
So
could you give me kind of... So did he get his BTR?
Well, once he pays for the BTR, that covers the tax requirement, the cost. So, yes, it won't be issued until he completes the rental inspection.
Okay,
portion.
So you can't you get the rental inspection first, and then you can apply for a BTR?
Well, that's you apply for it all. You pay
all
for it all.
All at once. Okay. Now
but you don't
once.
Get it until
okay.
everything's
get,
done.
I get it. Okay.
Yeah.
Ms. Collins. What is it that the owner didn't understand in last February when you told him to get a license?
I don't know. I didn't have contact
didn't have
until,
the...
but he did apply.
I mean, this is ridiculous. We're still granting things from last February for a simple thing of getting an inspection. Just wanted to put that out there. People keep gaming the system here, and I'm.
Anybody else have comments? And we'll let Mr. McCune speak. Come on up. Good morning.
Good morning.
What do you want to tell us?
Well, I had gone in and I applied for the license and paid for it, and then the inspection occurred. There's a couple things that were different and that I've since addressed and reapplied for the second inspection.
What were those things?
There was a delamination of a door.
Okay.
Where, you know, it's separating. There was a recent hole.
A what?
A recent hole kicked in the, like somebody kicked something near the baseboard. A piece of the ceiling actually had come loose. No real apparent reason why, but it's been replaced, or it's been repaired. There was a lot of junk in the yard. There's a lot of a collection of stuff that the tenants have. I bought it with the tenants in it, and
okay. How long ago did you buy it?
I think I bought it in December.
December, and you've rented it since then?
It's been rented the whole time.
Okay, and you didn't apply for a license at that time?
You know, it didn't come up when I purchased the home. Actually, as a requirement.
It's always a requirement.
But not in every city or county. Oh,
you're dealing with this city.
Right. And, you know, maybe I should have gone to the city and asked specifically, but I just, you know, at the closing, it didn't say, oh, by the way, make sure you do this. You know, it did say, make sure the water's paid, and it did say, you know, check for different things. And then the paperwork actually goes to the trustee in Orlando, and eventually it gets back to me. They're not as quick as you'd like.
Do you have other rentals?
I do.
In our town?
I have mostly in Melbourne, Florida.
Do you have rental licenses and business tax receipts in those areas?
No, they're not required.
Okay.
But they have, there's a Section 8, and it goes through the Section 8 inspection.
Okay. Ms. Collins, do you, I don't know, I mean, there's no way for you to know whether he's done, fixed all those things unless you go in and inspect it, so.
He's done a lot to the property.
Okay, yeah, come on up.
And it, just in addition, well, you can say.
Yeah. Okay. Come on, just so we can get it on record.
He's done a lot to the property. It was a lot of junk and stuff. The tenants were atrocious. I think it's, you know, he's making a great effort, and I didn't do the rental inspection, so he seems to be sure that he's going to be done on the 16th.
Is this a duplex?
No.
Single family?
It's a duplex.
It is a duplex.
It is a duplex.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Duplex,
okay.
And it's so zoned.
So what?
Zoned.
Yeah.
No, they went through zoning. That's why he's allowed to get the rental license. It goes through a zoning before they can even do their inspection.
You mean it wasn't zoned multifamily?
I don't know that. I just know rental licenses go through a zoning review before they're allowed to obtain a license.
Whether it was zoned single family,
residential, or multifamily.
I don't know. I've always known it as two.
It kind of looks. When you look at the picture, it looks like it's built as a duplex, right?
That's what I assume.
Yeah.
It looks like.
Right.
It's zoned or not.
Right.
I
don't know.
Wouldn't that be one of the issues that you would normally find on a multifamily? Whether it's zoned for single family residential or multifamily, sir?
In this situation, I if it was pre-reviewed by zoning, then that's what they're relying on.
Right.
A duplex would be part of a single without family, me reading, anyway. But under the zoning for single family residence zoning. It wouldn't be in a multifamily until it gets larger than a duplex. And in this circumstance, if I understood right, this repurchase wouldn't, if it was non-conforming by chance, it would not sever the non-conformity.
I mean, just
so
some
it wouldn't
of the
be a non-conforming use. It would be, it would be a legal non-conforming in that situation.
I understand what you're saying, but in the past we've had some instances where it has, been used as multifamily and it was in a single-family residential zoning.
Yeah. And while all of that's appreciated, circumstance in this is that he doesn't have a rental license, and so
right.
they go through that checklist for the rental
right.
license, and those things that aren't satisfied by that.
Right.
Is the plus or the minus. And there may be other things eventually that may be identified, and they'll deal with those appropriately in terms of making sure there's compliance. But the thing specific to a rental license is what his violations were, and the inspectors indicating that we're at the point where those things appear. He's been working in consistent with what he believes to have it remedied before the next meeting. So if we can get amended to the next cutoff, we believe that it ought to be resolved.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
How does everyone feel about amending to the next cutoff?
I'll second that.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Motion from Mrs. Himes, a second from Mr. Weatherholtz to amend to the next cutoff, which is the 9th of August, 2018. Is there... all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed?
No.
No?
No call.
Ms. Cumming?
No.
Ms. Hines?
Yes.
Ms. Howe?
No.
Mr. Harrington?
No.
Mr. Weatherholtz?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
so it fails.
Yes.
Motion fails. All right, I'll make another. I will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $50 per day against the respondent effective today, July 12th, and continue until compliance is achieved or reaches a maximum of $10,000. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Motion, Mrs. House. Second, Mr. Harrington. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Like, sign, opposed.
Nay.
Think motion. Yes. Yes.
No.
Yes.
Mr. Harrington?
Yes.
Mr.
Weatherholt?
Yes. Okay. Motion carries. Thank you.
That's the 15,000 maximum.
15,000 maximum. Correct.
It's just a 10,000 maximum.
Yeah. Well, I was in error, so I'd like to correct the motion to 15,000. It's 10,000 for a single family house and 15 for a duplex. But we expect that you will have that done long before it reaches that. So,
yeah. Can I just understand what we just said? So from today to the day it's reinspected,
yes.
You're going to be fining?
Yes, until the day it passes reinspection, until you get your license.
In other words, you're being charged $50 per day.
What? That's a lot of money for this.
I think we made the decision in the case. So.
I know, but I had to sit down before I was even able to finish to allow somebody else to speak, which was fine. But.
Well, I'm not going to reopen the case. So we need you to get the house inspected.
Okay.
Thank you. All right, case number 2, CEB 061859, Gregory Karpinski, failure to obtain business tax receipt and failure to obtain rental license. Is Mr. Karpinski here? No show. Okay. No contact, building occupied, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's correct, Madam Chair. This is before you from position of a fine. The inspector is Daniel Garcia. Mr. Garcia reports that he's had no contact with the respondent and from the owner, and their license expired back on 9/30/17, and so he's asking for a fine to be imposed of $100 per day to a maximum of $15,000 plus the $250 administrative fee for no business tax receipt.
How much per day is the recommendation?
The $100 per day to a maximum of $15,000.
Okay. Any comments from the board? So he refused to take the notice, and you had to, Danny, please come up. Good morning.
Danny Garcia, code enforcement. My credentials on file. Yes, they. I did notice the other day, I was with John Sensen, we did a drive-by, and there was a light on, so someone is living
and
there.
Someone's living there.
But no contact with the owner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay. I did a posting, you know,
yep.
Property was served,
yep.
Both
okay.
Certified and posted.
All right. The chair will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $100 per day against the respondent effective today, July 12, 2018, and continue until compliance is achieved or reaches the maximum of $15,000. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion, Mrs. House. Is there a second?
Second.
Madam Chair, if you can add the $250 administrative fee,
yeah,
for the business.
Okay. Amend the motion to add the $250 business tax receipt as well. So we had a motion from Mrs. House. Who was the second? Mr. Harrington was the second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Okay, case number 3, CEB 061856, Thomas Patrick Caffrey. All right. Is Mr. Caffrey here?
Good morning.
State your name and address for the record, please.
Thomas Patrick Caffrey, Jr., 1285 Vanderbilt Drive, Ormond Beach, Florida, 32174.
Okay.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. We'll hear from code enforcement. Or Mr. Jackson first.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is Mark Jones. Mr. Jones reports that this property is before you because of a failure to obtain a rental license. The property was inspected for rental license on June 15th. It failed on that date. A reinspection is scheduled. He was given 30 days to have those violations taken care of. A reinspection is scheduled for 7/16. And so Mr. Jones is asking that you amend to the next cutoff. Now, tender Mr. Jones.
Okay. Mr. Jones, come on up, please. Good morning.
Good morning. Mark Jones, Neighborhood Services. I hadn't had a chance to talk to our attorney. We did do an inspection on July 9th. It did fail with a couple minor items, a glass window pane off of a jalousy window that needed to be ordered, a screen that had to be repaired. As soon as that is available, we will be rescheduling the inspection.
What about front porch here?
Excuse me?
The front porch?
Yeah, that's where the jalousy window glass was broken. What are you...
No, I'm talking about in front of the door, the entranceway.
Looks like a ramp.
It's a small ramp. She has a couple very old dogs that she has there, and they have to use that ramp to walk down, the dogs do.
When was the first inspection that failed?
June 15th.
Cited 4/5/18.
Correct.
We didn't have an inspection for 2 months.
He applied for the license on May 30th. And by the time it went through zoning and got scheduled, It was into June.
Okay. All right, Mr. Caffrey, thank you. We may have more questions in a minute. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. So I came in and I renewed my business tax receipt. I've had it as a rental for quite some time. It's been inspected three previous times, and there's never been a requirement from the city or known to me that it needed to be the rental license. Since finding out that it needed that, I've done what needs to be done to make sure it's there. I also, since inspecting it Monday or Tuesday, whatever day that was, I've had the jalousy window replaced, I've had the screen replaced, and then I've had the toilet flange replaced as well. I have all the receipts and the photos here for those things, so everything is in compliance now.
How long have you had that property rented?
To this tenant, she's been there for, I don't know, 6 years, 7 years, and she's had it inspected twice before as a tenant. She can attest to that. I don't know why it's kind of slipped through the cracks through your city, but I applied down there through the license, through the business tax receipt, and I've done it for several times. So the reason why this came up as non-compliance, I renewed my business tax receipt, and then I get a letter in the mail stating that I'm in non-compliance and that I have a violation, and I was unaware of that.
Is this your only rental? I'm sorry.
Yes.
I'm kind of confused by what you said, that you had it inspected before.
Yes.
So you knew that.
That's always been in compliance.
I'm not saying that. But did you know that you needed to have it inspected again if you had it inspected before?
Every two years.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. Got inspected every 2 years, and it has been inspected since.
Right.
Yeah. I had smoke detectors in it.
Right.
All those.
I get that. Yeah. What? So why did this come as a surprise to you this year? I guess that's my question.
Because it's every 2 years, and I didn't realize it was this year. And,
okay.
And nobody told me about that. I just got the letter of violation.
Okay.
That's all. And now there's a new rental license requirement that was not required in the past to me. I don't know why that is, and it could just be something that was missed in paperwork. Who knows?
I think it was required. It's been required for several years now. That's what my confusion is.
Yeah, it's mine as well. I mean, I don't have any understanding to why it's happened that way, but you can look back in your records and see through the city that I've renewed every year on the business tax receipt.
Okay. But you have receipts for all the
items that were just cited on Monday
or
Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And everything is repaired, and I have photos as well.
All right. Does anyone have questions for anybody up here? For the respondent or code?
Is it the obligation of the city to inform people they need a rental license, or is this the owner's responsibility?
No, you can't.
I think that's
a Mr. Jackson question.
They're informed by the public adoption of the ordinance, which happened, I believe, Ms. Kundich, right, several years ago.
Mm-hmm.
The manner which it was of the enforcement, we took a pattern of enforcement, so it did affect different people differently. But I think the effort that's been made to notify when that issue came up and it was made aware by staff, but the notice to the citizenry is when it was adopted.
Okay.
Mr. Jackson, is there anything they could do, like when a person comes to renew their business tax, to let them know that?
Yeah, and you asked if there's anything they can do when they come to renew. That's I believe what they're doing now. That's an administrative process. I don't really have that answer with clarity, but it sounds like from what's being described that that's what they're doing, is that now when people come. But I know there was a period when it was one area of town, then another, as it was being gradually worked in for the city at large. I believe it's been for the city at large for some time now, though.
Right. Okay. Well, what is everybody's feeling about amending to the next cutoff? Because all of the violations have, according to the receipts, have been fixed, and period of time is...
I make a motion to amend.
Okay, with me. Okay. We have a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow respondent until the next cutoff date of 8-9-2018 to come into compliance and be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of... for consideration of a fine.
Second.
Second, Mr. Harrington. All in favor say aye.
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 Like, sign, opposed. Okay, motion carries. Okay. All right, case number four, CEB 051846, Michael Kramer at 13 Goodall. Violation, no permits for porch and outside enclosure. Good morning.
Good morning.
State your name and address for the record.
My name is Michael Kramer. I reside at 13 Goodall. That is my home, my homestead, and I am representing myself in this case.
You are an attorney?
I am.
Okay. Thank you. All right. We're going to hear from Mr. Jackson first, and then we'll give you a chance to explain whatever you'd like.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for a progress report. That's what's scheduled for today's meeting.
That's right.
With a compliance date scheduled for August 1st.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if everyone has received the correspondence from Mr. Kramer.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that may have been given
it
to the
in our packets.
Packet.
Mm-hmm.
So from the perspective of a progress report, I would want to hear that from Mr. Kramer. And
mm-hmm.
then if you want me to speak to his concerns, now I can do that or after he's heard.
That's well, we're really just here for a progress report, correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
So these letters asking for dismissal are not part of our agenda?
They're part of your...
Yeah.
No, I don't know if I can say it's not part of your agenda. He is before you, so he can make those types of requests.
Okay.
And other things there.
So
and I guess ultimately you probably want to get the opinion of Mr. Sino on whether how you should respond to that.
Okay. But one thing that I would like is a clarification of dates. It's confusing to me because we have something from 2017 in May that for first notification. So I'm getting confused with some of these dates in here because there was a violation dated April 17th, 2018 as well. So
are we ruling on the progress report first?
All right, let's do that. Let's have a progress report first. Okay.
And not presumption from Mr. Kramer?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Mr. Jackson, Mr. Sino, Madam Chairman and members of the board, if I could present some preliminary remarks, and I have some questions for the code enforcement officer pertaining to the progress on this matter, and then if I could close. If you have no objection, I'd like to...
Go ahead.
To, do. All right. To start with, I would like to provide some documents, if I can approach.
Sure.
This copy of my... There was some confusion with the dates, and hopefully this will clear this up.
Okay.
Exhibit A is the letter dated May 22nd. This will make this a whole lot easier if I put my glasses on. It's dated May 22nd, 2017. It's not a title document. However, it is a notice of violation. You see
okay.
in the first paragraph. That is the notice of violation in this case. The violation specifically states it's Land Development Code Article 3, Section 4.5.1. The shorthand for that would be no permit, and the remedy that was requested was a permit. I did apply for a permit shortly after that. However, in the aftermath of the hurricane, it kind of fell between the cracks, and that case got
Can I ask you when you applied for the permit?
Originally?
Yeah.
Hang on, I can go back here.
June 4th. I got it.
No, there was a previous permit applied for.
Oh, that was for the 517.
That's correct. That permit actually expired. I tried to renew it, but they expired, so I had to apply for a new permit. I did apply for that permit. Okay. Exhibit B in your packet is labeled a notice of violation, but it's actually an affidavit of the violation. That's the one that says that no permit was...
What packet are we talking about here?
The one you just gave us? The exhibits that I gave you right there
okay.
That I'm referring to. They are actually in your packet, those documents.
Okay, we'll get to this in a minute. Can we just have a progress report? Where are we right now? That's what we were asking for before, is you to tell us what's gone on since last month, basically.
It is my position at this time that this property is now in compliance. The request of the violation was failure to have a permit. It specifies a particular article section of your land development code. It now has a permit. I asked for a reinspection of the property by email on 6/25. I have not heard back from that, and I did not hear it was in compliance. So my legal position on this matter is that it is in compliance. As far as the progress on this, there is a permit has been issued. I'm trying to contract with someone to finish my framing and then remove the structure. But again, I believe this is in compliance, and I will proceed based on that. However, in an effort to cooperate in full with this board, even though I believe it is my position it is compliance, I'm more than willing to proceed with the permit in a timely manner. However, August 1st is not a realistic figure.
May I ask you, when did your lawyer tell you that it was all right to start the work without a permit in the first place?
Yeah, I made an error in that.
Oh, is it possible you're making an error in your position here?
Let me tell you, back in the early 80s when the code enforcement boards were first authorized by the legislation, I prepared the manuals and documents for two cities in Broward County, town of Pembroke Park, city of Lauderhill. Later, I represented the city of Longwood as its city attorney and as its board advisory attorney. And I believe my positions are clear. It's an adversarial proceeding, and this is my position. Mr. Jackson may have a different opinion. However, the violation...
So, let me get this straight. You're here for a progress report. Have you... I'm just going to cut to the chase here. Have you gotten a permit?
Yes, I have a permit. I filed a notice of filing of that permit with the court.
You asked for a permit. Has it been granted?
It has been granted.
The
copy of it should be in your packet.
Granted.
Why don't we listen to the inspector and see what...
Okay. Well, I just want to get this straight. So we have... You've asked for a permit... You've gotten a permit, and now you're waiting for a reinspection. Is that correct?
I asked for the reinspection on June 25th.
June 25th. And I just want to get this straight in my head now from what you're saying. And you have not received a response yet to do a reinspection. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
You're saying your position is that you've already come into compliance because the officer didn't list on there and must complete by a certain date and have an inspection. So you're taking the words, get a permit, and saying that is in compliance. That's what you're saying. That's your basic argument.
That is correct. And the land development code section that was cited.
Yeah. And it's a land development code that you as an attorney violated in the first place that got you here. So if you're so interested in cooperating with us, why don't you stop this routine and simply, you have the permit, get the work done, and get an actual inspection on the work.
Again, it is my position that I am in compliance. However, I will continue to proceed with the work in a timely fashion, but I believe that this case is now outside the jurisdiction of this board.
All right, I think we need to hear from Mr. Fitzgerald again. And Mr. Jackson.
Have Mr. Jackson respond.
Okay, Mr. Jackson.
Yeah, I guess the first part would be the easy answer, which is in speaking with the inspector, he agrees that August 1st, which is the actual cutoff date, is probably is too soon for the amount of time necessary to comply. And he agrees that an additional, the September date would be a more appropriate time for compliance. So on that aspect, we don't have a problem with amending to the, right now it's scheduled for the August, but amending that to the September cutoff is one part of that answer. On the question of whether or not he's in compliance. Compliance for failure to have a permit is to obtain a permit. And obtaining the permit includes a process that ends with the final of a permit. And if it's not final, it's as though you've done nothing at all. And so the position of the staff is become more expressed in the more recent months as a necessity that if indeed this a case comes before you and gets under your jurisdiction, that it remains under your jurisdiction until the case is complete.
Does that mean that the work is complete or that just...
The issue specific to the permit is satisfied. So whatever the permitting requirement is, that permitted requirement is reaches its satisfaction. It's final. You know, whether or not he has other stuff that he's doing in construction that he
not
has...
Not that...
Right,
no.
It's not relevant.
Right.
But what required a permit that resulted in the violation...
That work is complete and inspected.
That's correct.
So when it says no permits, it... Okay.
Right. It's brought into your jurisdiction by the fact that, as was pointed out by Mr. Harrington, by the fact that someone took an action outside of the realm of the code and started work that now needs to be overseen, in essence, by the administration, by the permitting division to be able to know that work is done to the satisfaction of this board.
Have we had any case law on this where we've gotten in this nitpicking?
I don't.
Has anybody
know
ever brought
if there's
this
any
up
and case said, law? And you know, it's more of.
I am too. And here's my position right now. We're here for a progress report. There's nothing that needs to be done at this time. Except hear the progress.
I think that...
And then when it comes back next time, we'll decide what to do. So I don't think the board needs to do anything right now.
Well, I will say that I don't think... I'm sorry.
He was.
Yes.
But we don't have an extension of the compliance date. The compliance date is now set for the 1st of August, which must be the cutoff date, right? Which is the cutoff date. I'm willing to leave that, and if it's not in compliance by then, we'll do something at that time. I don't know how everybody else feels.
I agree.
Okay.
Mr. Shino, I'd like some input.
Yeah, I'm... He got his permits, so he's in compliance on those things. You still have waiting to get your business tax receipt?
No, no.
He hasn't got that yet.
No, that's not it. He lives there. He's there.
Madam Chair, may I just interrupt for one other thing? There's some technical issue going on with the system right now that requires someone to have to shut it down. I don't know if you want to go... If it's going to take us offline, you may want to do just a temporary
Recess?
Recess.
So nothing that requires us to. We can still go if we want to.
Right, we're in a public meeting. It's still public. But that,
it is recording.
That,
we
that's
are
the
recording.
Smell that we, odor that we're smelling. They need to resolve that.
Safety. Ah, well, so then we just have to call a little recess?
Yes.
Please. Okay. We're calling a recess right now. Thank you. At. We're not on TV. Oh. That is correct. Not a big loss. All right. Is everyone back in place again? All right. The meeting will come to order. It is 9:56.
We, Madam Chairman, during the break, we talked, Mr. Jackson and I, Mr. Kramer and myself, and Mr. Kramer has asked for some additional time. I have no problem with that. This town and city has no problem with that. What I'd like to do is continue the case to the September meeting, and then that would be the hopefully everything will be resolved, everything will be in compliance, the case will go away.
And if I can say, Madam Chair, as we know, the principal issue is whether or not they were in compliance or noncompliance. That's been determined. He's in noncompliance.
Correct.
The secondary issue is reasonable time to comply. I think the fight is about whether or not he has 6 months versus 2 weeks, and the reality is he can have this done within a reasonable time. Well, we believe the staff has already indicated they believe September would be a reasonable time, and so if y'all would agree with that, that resolves a lot of the concern.
You know, what's before us is a progress report.
We have a progress report. We've got it.
So now, do we wait till the next time? So we're just going to amend to the...
Yeah, this is a September meeting.
If you would amend the date for the next progress report to September 12th, that will give me...
Yeah, there's the next cutoff date is 9-5, so 9-5. And the meeting's 9-13.
Why is it you can't comply?
The chair will... All right, okay. No. Does anybody have comments about that?
Why do you need extra time?
It's a complicated project. It involves some construction, framing, finishing the framing work. It's a masonry, decorative masonry fence, and demolition of some work. Complicated project. I have to get several inspections along the process.
And again, we've talked, Tony and I have talked, and we think it's a fair compromise. Give him 2 months. Hopefully everything will go away and it'll get resolved. And
I hope so.
Just some clarification.
Go ahead.
So you'll be able to complete it for that some separate date?
I would ask that this board defer any fines until after.
There's no fines today.
Okay. But is it that there not be any fines imposed until after 9-5? Right now it sits at August 1.
Okay.
So, and then
well, that's
I can
right.
give another progress report
yeah.
at the September
yeah.
hearing if you acknowledge that there's significant process.
We're not.
Well, that's what I'm trying to clarify. Are we talking of, you mean for August hearing to give a...
No,
September. So
no,
I'm moving right
back
to September.
August. September.
All right, here's what we're going
to
do.
September, he wouldn't need to come back at all.
Yeah, if he's complies, you're right.
It may be a non-issue. This
right,
is
correct.
This
hopefully
point.
Be a non-issue.
All right, okay. The chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow respondent until the September cutoff date, which is September 5th, 2018, to come into compliance and be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion? Motion, Mrs. Himes. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Second, Mr. Harrington. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries.
Isn't it a blessing what three attorneys can accomplish?
All right. Case number 5, CEB 0418-34, Schulte Rentals at 2031 Schulte Avenue is in compliance. Case number. Case number 6, CEB 051845, is in compliance. At 29 Goodall, case number CEB 061857 at 1320 Peachtree is in compliance. We're moving on to case number 8, CEB 06-18-58, Mr. Runner at 1337 Killian Street. Is respondent okay? Come on up.
Good morning, Mike Fitzgerald with the City of Daytona Beach.
Okay, let's let. So that's all right. That's fine. Good. Hi.
Well, William Runner, 1337 Killian Street, Daytona Beach, 32114.
Okay.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to provide is
true? I do.
Okay, thanks. We'll hear from our code enforcement officer first, and then you can talk. All right, Mr. Jackson.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine. And although something I didn't point out before, and I think it'll be beneficial to the board for me to make known that these cases were prepared by Mr. Reckonzone up until a few days ago, and he had a personal emergency, and so the other inspectors
okay.
fully informed himself, but it is a substitute inspector.
Okay.
This case is before you, as I said, for imposition of a fine. The inspector reports that, and Mr. Reckonzone had reported this as well, that there was substantial progress being made by the respondent, and he requested that we amend to the next cutoff to give the respondent additional time. I think this is a situation where it's a tarp on the roof, and there was a period when there was some concern it wasn't progressing, but he has made the progress necessary. Something else I do want to note as well, and I noted this with my other meeting, is that some of these things will probably need some additional follow-up from the inspectors because we met a little bit earlier than we typically do because of the holiday and the events. And so things have happened since the time that we initially met on some okay. of these cases. But I will look to Mr. Fitzgerald and ask okay. him to give you the most current update.
Okay.
But the request is for amendments.
Okay. Mr. Fitzgerald? Yeah, go ahead. Tell us, since we can't see what's been done, tell us what's been done, please.
Michael Fitzgerald, code enforcement officer with the City of Daytona Beach. My credentials are on file. The property area, outside area, was all cleaned up except for there's some concrete on the west side of the house.
Pavers.
They need to go into the backyard because that's like construction equipment.
Yeah, I took them up out of
there. Okay, wait a minute. Just wait. You'll get your new attempt.
The cars were moved off the grass from the earlier pictures, and the I guess there are two PT Cruisers. And one had a flat tire, so that might be an issue with the junk vehicle part. He may need to get that fixed and make sure that it's tagged.
Okay.
And then the other thing is just the roof.
Okay. What's the matter with the roof?
The roof has a blue tarp on it.
Oh, okay. We can't see.
What
okay.
happened with that?
I don't know. That's what we're talking
okay, so
about.
Come on up, Mr. Runner, and tell us what you have left to do. Because
okay.
it's done something.
Okay, the Methodist Recovery Group, they committed themselves to putting a new roof on. They said they'd have it done in June or July, so it should be done this month. I called them last week, and they told me I was quite well. They said I could give you her name and number if you want, so you can call her. So.
Okay. I don't think you need to give it to us. I think you need to give it to Mr. Fitzgerald. Either after we decide or whatever. Okay. So they're going to help you with the roof.
Yes.
Okay.
Has the garbage been removed?
The what?
The garbage. Is that gone?
Well, there wasn't no garbage there. There was a car with a flat tire, but all my automobiles are licensed.
They're licensed and
yes,
registered?
Yes, they're licensed, insurance and everything
okay.
on them, yes. I even drove the one with the flat tire to West Virginia a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
To a doctor's appointment
okay.
back, I made.
Okay. All right. I don't really have any more questions. Does anybody have any questions? All right, the chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow respondent until 9/5/2018 to come into compliance and return to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Harrington. Second, Mr. House. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Okay. Motion carries. So you have till next month to
do
this.
Okay, if it's finished and everything by that time, by September,
right.
Do I have to come back in September?
Not if it's in compliance.
Okay.
But you will have to get with your code officer to find that out.
Okay.
And it will be Mr. Reckonzon if he's back. All right. Thank you. Case number 9 is in compliance, CEB061860, Grady Meeks. Case number 10, which is not in compliance, is still an open case. It's CEB061861, Charles Darby at North Hollywood, closing vacant structures, Weeds Road, Harborage. Is Mr. Darby here?
No, I'm in New Orleans, I think.
And well, come on up and tell us who you are.
My name is Charles Eitel.
Charles who?
Eitel, E-I-T-E-L, 287 Euclid Ave, Daytona Beach, Florida.
Mr. Reckon? Oh. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to provide is the truth, all truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes. I took possession.
E-I-T-E-L. Well, let us hear from
okay.
Mr. Jackson and code officer, and then we'll give you a chance to tell us whatever you'd like.
And I will, if I may, get a copy of the warranty deed does. The warranty deed does convey the property, Mr. Eitel.
19th of June.
Yes.
Okay.
Madam Chair, members of the board, we've been made informed that the property has been conveyed. The this was before you put imposition. Well, it is before you put imposition of a fine. But because of the conveyance and the new ownership, we do have the necessity to provide additional time. Since Mr. Eitel is here, we would ask that the case be amended to show to add him as a respondent, since he has ownership and possession of the property. And unless he has some specific objection to that, we'd ask that he be added. And we amend this to the next cut off for him to come into compliance.
Mr. Eitel, just a question. Do these conditions exist on this property still?
No, I've cleaned up. I mean, if we had pictures, new pictures.
Yeah.
I mean, I cleaned all the brush, any garbage, the lawn mower, repaired the roof. It's just, you know,
so,
I'm just a one-man show. I'm getting it all done now.
Great.
It'll be.
You understand, we'll give you another month.
Okay.
Come in compliance, stay with your code officer, you may not have to come back.
Yeah, fine.
The law requires us to restart it again because you're new.
Right, I figured that, yeah.
And we're adding you on to it if you don't have it.
No.
Okay, it's... Yeah, so... Mr. Fitzgerald, so this was Mr. Reckonzone's case as well. So do you have anything that you want to add? No. Okay. All right, so the chair will entertain a motion to amend the order and add Mr. Charles Eitel to the order and complaint, and will also entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow the respondent until September, August 1st. Come into compliance and be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion, Mrs. House. Second, Mr. Harrington. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Okay, motion carries. Okay, so you just clean it up and come on back. Okay?
Right, thank
you. Yeah, that's August. Mr. Fitzgerald, I'll just have a question. Is this a vacant structure? Okay. Nobody's in it. He's not renting. Okay, good. Okay. All right. Case number 11, CEB06-18-65, Maybelle Hancock. Respondent present. Wasn't present last time. 834 Vernon. Church said they were making repairs. I don't know what's going on here. Go ahead, Mr. Jackson. Yes. Sorry.
Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspectors, Cliff Reckinson, and it's been covered by Mike Fitzgerald. This is a case, and I believe we had brought this up in the past, that there was a the respondent was looking for some help with getting this
right.
roof done, and so that help inspector received notification from a local church that they were helping to replace the roof. They just need a little time. They're asking if they could have 90 days to complete the project and give a progress report in the interim. And the staff is making that recommendation.
Okay, but this is exactly the position we were in last month, 30 days ago, that someone was going to help and they needed some time. And so we're... I don't know whether we're any further along in a month than we were before.
Okay, and I have to see if Mr. Fitzgerald know anything further. I'll attend to Mr. Fitzgerald.
The permits were pulled. Permit number R1806-039 was pulled.
Oh, good.
And so we're just...
No, that makes a difference.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
All right, as 90 days should be more than enough time, I would think. And that brings it all the way up to October 3rd. Okay. All right, Chair, I'll entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow the respondent until October 3rd, 2018 to come into compliance. And did you say you would like a progress report? No. Or be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second. Motion, Mrs. House. Second, Mr. Weatherholtz. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Okay. All right. Yeah, I know, and this one is right here. All right, case 12, CEB05-18-53, James Lambert at 215 Oak Ridge. Please come up. Good morning.
I'm James Lambert. I live at 719 North Wild Olive Avenue in Daytona Beach.
Raise your hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I swear.
Okay, today we're just here for a progress report. Mr. Jackson, what can you tell us?
Well, actually, if I can look to the respondent, but the inspector informs me, Madam Chair, that and members of the board, that it's pretty much done. It just needs a contractor, and he's not sure to sign off, and not sure if that will happen before August 1. But I'll have Mr. Tom Klee, who is the inspector, to come in
okay.
speak to that with a little bit more clarity.
Good morning.
Hi.
Now, Mr. Lambert, I believe, has the survey was done
good.
The 3rd of July, and or the 4th, I think he said it was.
Okay, hold on. Okay.
So anyways, once he got the survey, the permit was applied for. It just needs to be issued and signed off on because the work's completed. So it shouldn't take maybe 30 days max. So what you would be into your August compliance date would, I think,
just leave it.
Well, to see what happens.
Okay. All right. Mr. Lambert, what do you want to tell us?
Okay.
What's going on?
What the officer just was saying is correct.
Mm-hmm.
I observed the surveyor there with this James Byrne.
Good.
Outfit. And he also was there all day Monday, and they've got where the boundaries are and all that, the whole
mm-hmm.
thing done and marked. But he had to turn it in, draw it, and then get everything officially stamped, et cetera. Then he would afford that to the engineering department. And then this question then of what they do with it and till we get it back as to if we get a building permit or not, I guess, according to...
Well, you've applied for the permit, correct?
Yeah, we've talked several times, but you have to go through the engineering
here
in the building.
So I...
Do they have an architect, an architectural plan to submit for the permit and everything?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. One outfit over there in Grandview. We've gone through three or four times in the past already.
Okay, so we need not to do anything, and hopefully by next month everything will be squared away, right?
Well, if we do get the permit, then it's a question of...
But, well, we'll see. I mean...
So, are you asking for extra time? I'm hearing...
Well, it's indicated here by my general contractor that once it does get turned in, then they have to respond. Sometimes it's been quite a while. So, and once that is takes place, then we assume to have a permit that we could kick off the work, whatever has to be done. And then my contractor was asking 60 days to complete that.
What do you think, Mr. Clear?
I believe still like the August 1st compliance date. If it gets close, I can get with Mr. Jackson. We can amend it.
Okay. All right. So that's it. No, we don't need to do anything.
Thank you.
All right. Now we'll move on to new cases. CB071867 is in compliance at 606 Cannon. Case number... Okay. There's one person here. We'll hear your case.
Yes.
Sir. So we'll move to case number 17. So if you want to come up, come forward. Thank you. So you can get out of here. Should move pretty quickly.
These are all this. Okay. 17?
Yes.
Yeah, we're on case number 17. CB0718-71, Bernard W. and Alma Smith at 730 Flanders. Okay, so state your name and address for the record, please, sir.
Excuse me.
Okay.
Bernard W. Smith, Jr. I reside at 144 Reef Road. The property address is 730 Flanders.
Reef Road, what town is that in, sir?
South Daytona.
Okay. Go ahead.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to provide is the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Okay.
Well, let us hear from our attorney and then the code officer, and then I'll give you a chance to speak, Mr. Smith.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this property is before you for determination of compliance or noncompliance. The inspector is Juan Davis. Ms. Davis reports that...
We have pictures.
...that she had... that the all the violations remain... that the property remains in non-compliance, since he's asking for next cutoff for the property to be brought into compliance.
Okay. So I'm saying, so this property is occupied. Please come up.
Go on to Davis Neighborhood Service Inspector. Yes, it is occupied at the current time.
Okay. All right. Okay, Mr. Smith, what would you like to tell us? You were notified in February about this.
That's what it was said, yeah. But this property, I haven't done anything, and it's not occupied. There's no residential permit or anything. I got somebody just watching out for the house because I'm trying to sell it. And I'm not, you know, I'm doing everything I can just to keep it
safe. Are you saying you're not collecting rent?
No. Mm-mm.
Okay. But somebody's in there.
There's one guy just...
Yeah, it's okay. I'm just asking. Okay.
Yeah, but there's no rent being collected. But I'm in the process of selling it now. And so whatever time I can get it sold, I'm good. But right now, it's nothing I can do to it. It's nothing I can do.
Why is there nothing you can do?
Because I'm not going to do anything else.
You're not going to do anything.
No.
Okay.
I'm with in a closing date now within 5 to 10 days. So for me,
a closing date with whom?
With an investor out of Orlando.
Do you have a purchase and sale agreement you can show us?
I don't have one with me, but I have one that I can produce.
Okay, well, all right.
Yep.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Our position would be that it's not really relevant at this point. If he sells it, he sells it. If he doesn't, he needs to be in compliance.
Correct. And does anyone... Okay. All right, so very simply, I don't know what else you want to say. Do you have anything else to say?
No, I have nothing else to say.
So very simply, the chair will entertain a motion to find respondent non-compliance in order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, August 1st, 2018, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Harrington. Second, Mr. Weatherholtz. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Thank you. All right, so we'll go back to, I think we're on 14 now. Amendment 12, 13. Case 14, CEB07-18-68, Destiny Glover at Orange Avenue. We just have a parcel number, so is this just a vacant lot? Glad we have pictures of that. Doesn't look too vacant, but sorry. I'm assuming the Glovers aren't here, is that correct? Okay. All right. What would you like to tell us? Mr. Jackson?
Yep, this is before you for compliance or non-compliance. Inspector Swan Davis, and she says that they should be able to get this in compliance by next cutoff.
Okay.
Do you have anything else, madam?
What is that thing in the back? Is that a fence?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
The previous pictures you saw with all the outside storage has been removed. This is the most recent picture.
Okay.
I met with the so-called property manager yesterday along with Mr. Sykes. We've made some additional request to finish off the fence down the side of the property so it's not visible from Orange Avenue, and that should be done by the next cutoff.
Good. All right, let's. Can I see the previous picture where it was all? If you can do that. Oh, so we went from that
to all of that is now behind the fence.
Oh, it's behind the fence.
Some of it's been taken and removed. Some of it's been relocated to behind the fence.
What was it used for?
It's just a hangout area for the adjacent rooming house next door, 750 Orange Avenue.
Okay. Can I see the... So most of the things that were in the before picture are just behind the fence now? What are all those things? Benches? What is that big box thing? Is that gone?
Yes, ma'am, it's gone.
Okay.
How about the table and chairs?
Those have been removed also.
So there's just like outdoor benches and motorcycles and stuff like that back there?
The current picture.
All right, let's see, yeah.
The current picture, you see maybe one or two benches out front that they utilize.
Okay. And they're going to put, they're going to put a fence someplace else?
If you see the side properties there where the bushes are, there's an opening in the fence that needs to be repaired. And once that's repaired, you won't be able to see it come in down Orange Avenue.
All right.
Is that property just being used for a junkyard? Is that what,
no.
I mean, that's what it looks like.
Congregation area.
No,
Who's they?
The occupants of the boarding house.
Of the boarding house. Okay.
Property.
Were these your original cases or you inherit these?
They've been going on for quite a while, off and on throughout the year.
I'm wondering why.
Huh?
I'm wondering why.
Why?
Why do these things go on for
property
for 5-6 months?
Well, we had some progress, and so we gave them a little bit more time. Things were coming and going, and he was making some steady improvements on removing things from the lot. So,
basically,
it was quite
as Mrs. Himes said, it's their property. They can sit on it, and if everything is okay with the lot and it's going to be in compliance, then I...
Well, I wasn't asking that. I was asking why it took... We allow them 5 and 6 months to do something that can be done in 1 month.
Yeah.
Why it goes on forever.
Okay. Okay. All right. Okay, so Chair will entertain a motion to find respondent noncompliance or respondent come into compliance by the next cutoff date, August 5th, 2018, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Weatherholt, second, Mrs. Himes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Case number 15, CEB 07-18-69, Lumina Group Enterprises at 900 Orange Avenue is a respondent. No, there aren't any respondents here. Okay, Mr. Jackson. What can you tell us?
I was asked on the prior case, if just clarifying the date. I think you announced August 5th is what I was being told. So instead of August 1st.
I'm sorry, August 1st, 2018. Thank you.
Yeah.
We'll amend to that, please.
Okay. This case is before you for termination of compliance or noncompliance. The inspector is Juan Davis. Ms. Davis reports that the permit has been applied for, and so she's asking for noncompliance next cutoff for the response to the coming to compliance, and I would attend to Ms. Davis
okay.
for any factual questions.
All right. What can you tell us? Have you had any contact?
Yes, I have had contact with the occupants of the building. As you can see, it's a metal frame sign. I originally gave them the option of repairing or removing it, but it is in a redevelopment area, and after further research, if he removes the metal frame, he will not be approved for that size or type sign again. So he's elected to repair it. So that's what the change of copy is, the panel inserts that need to be installed. So he does have a contractor, and they're pulling permits as we speak. Okay.
What is in that location now?
I'm not sure. I have the name of the company, but I'm not sure what service they provide.
Okay. Any questions? All right. The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent noncompliance and/or respondent come into compliance by the next cutoff date, August 1st, 2018, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Okay. Motion. Mr. Weatherholt, second. Mrs. House, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Okay. Case number 16. CV07-18-70, Evelyn Hanans at 614 Orange Avenue. Yeah. I'll try to start that. Okay, Mr. Jackson.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for determination of compliance and noncompliance. The inspector is Juan Davis. Ms. Davis is asking for a finding of noncompliance and next cutoff to come into compliance. I turn to Ms. Davis for any other factual questions.
Okay.
As you can see, this is another property on a major thoroughfare on Orange Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a bunch of outside storage of utility trailers, parking on the grass takes place, miscellaneous building supplies, cooking grills. I could go on and on.
Okay.
He's made some progress, but he is the type of tenant that will improve and then reestablish the violation. So we're trying to get him to be consistent and stay in compliance.
So this is not, I mean, he's not a tenant, he's the owner of the house, right?
He's a tenant, yes. He's a family member that's living there.
So he's a tenant?
Correct. This is not the property owner.
And the property owner has no, can't get him to stop, is that it?
They
I
are
mean,
aware.
We can't charge the tenant.
Correct. The property owner is aware of the situation.
Okay.
I sent some pictures to them, and so they're trying to facilitate him coming into compliance.
Where does the property owner live, do you know? Okay. Thank you.
Madam Chair, just for clarification, the owner is deceased. The property is in probate. She's been, when the reference of the inspector, communication from apparently a personal representative or someone acting on behalf of the family, Ms. Anderson. And so that's who's been the communicator for what's going on with the property. But it's at this point in probate. And so trying to sort out possession and ownership may be a little challenging at the moment while until they get that settled.
You know, this is one of the issues that, you know, it was issued in February, and it's,
yeah.
You know, and it's taken quite a while to even come before the board.
We don't know when the woman died. I mean, I don't know. We can't charge the tenant that's in there. I mean, we need to find out who owns the property. And if it's in probate...
Actually, no.
No?
No, you can charge a property, and whoever is determined that the owner they're responsible.
Right, correct. Right?
The encumbrance or the imposition of fine or whatever and the lien would attach to the property.
Right, right.
Right. Do we have the benefit of its attachment to ownership? Well, that'll be something we'll know by the time we get to the end, but that's the challenge of identifying and with clarity. I mean, but everyone who has a legal interest in ownership of the property would be still bound to the restrictions or the encumbrance to the property.
Absolutely.
Correct. Where do we send? So we send notifications where?
Right now we're having communication from someone representing the property.
There is someone representing the property. Okay.
Yeah, and the fact that if there's a probate action,
okay,
I think
that's what I wanted
you
to
were able to confirm,
clarify.
There would be a representative. That we should be able to.
So someone will be able to receive notices about what we do, other than the person that's living in there.
Yes.
Okay, that's. That has some responsibility. That's what I guess what I was asking.
We need to be the court or, you know, appointee or whoever.
That's fine. As long as somebody is... Okay, good. Okay, the chair will entertain a motion to find respondent noncompliance or respond to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, August 1st, 2018, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second. Motion, Mr. Weatherholt. Second, Mrs. Himes, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Okay, we did case number 17. We have case number 18, CEB071872, Carlton Curtis Hooks. Hooks family. All right. It's another parcel of land on Orange Avenue. Well, this is interesting. All right, Mr. Jackson.
We're on Hooks?
Yes, Hooks.
Okay. Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for determination of compliance and non-compliance. Inspector Juan Davis. Ms. Davis reports that these issues are being worked on by the respondent. She's asking for you to make a finding of noncompliance and give until next cutoff for the respondent to come into compliance.
So let me ask a question. It says illegal parking on a vacant lot without a principal structure. That lot doesn't look... Where's the vacant lot?
Right there.
Well, I see you know these properties. I don't.
This vacant lot is adjacent to the previous case. There is a chain link fence. If you could stop it right there, Fitzgerald. There's a chain link fence behind the white vehicle.
Okay, I see
it
that.
It goes from there to the next adjoining property, which is the car wash on the corner of Orange and MLK.
Okay.
Okay.
And the vacant lot is owned by a separate owner than the house that we just previously discussed.
Okay, that's okay.
Right. And so they're illegally parking on the...
Yes, sir. They are using that lot as access to the rear of the property and to store vehicles that come and go, different vehicles throughout the month. The property owner is aware. He has registered the property under the trespass list and has had it posted.
Isn't that a police matter of towing it off?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, Officer Jessmer, Daytona Beach Police. No, it's private property. Now, once it's registered as a trespass arrest site.
Oh, I thought you said it was.
Okay.
My wife's correct.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Can't the owner have the vehicles towed?
Yes, certainly. And that's what we would prefer is that the owner would have the vehicles removed, especially if there's not a body with them.
Yeah.
State law provides where the owner can have a contract with a tow or contract with them for tow if they parking on their property.
Right.
So that's the preference.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wouldn't think we even normally have this case.
Well, what we're left with is without something compelling the owner who is actually not the one doing the act, then the owner may not take the actions necessary to make the act stop, which is what's necessary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Any other comments? Chair will entertain a motion to find respondent noncompliance or a respondent come into compliance by the next cutoff date, August 1st, 2018, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion? Motion, Mrs. Himes. Is there a second?
Second.
Second, Mr. Weatherholtz. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion carries. All right, case number CEB, this is our last case, 071873 Paul Meeks at 239 Graham Street. Mr. Jackson, what can you tell us?
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for determination of compliance or noncompliance. The inspector is Juan Davis. Ms. Davis report that this is a complaint-driven case. She's had no contact, at least the last time we spoke regarding this case. Now, with the respondent, she's asking that there be a finding of noncompliance and the property be brought into compliance by next cutoff. I tender Ms. Davis if you have any questions.
So we're looking at the property that's to the left of the red driveway. Hmm?
That's correct.
Okay. And is there a tarp on the roof?
No, ma'am.
Okay. We're okay.
Kind of damage is there to that roof?
That's a soffit hanging down?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, that's the whole soffit. Okay, that's the soffit. I see it. Okay.
Soffit station board.
Okay. And you've had no contact? And
no, ma'am. The notice of violation was returned and then the property was posted.
Okay. All right.
Is that property occupied?
I have not been able to verify that. And as of yesterday, there has not been a permit applied for the repair.
Okay. So we don't know whether it's occupied. All right. Chair will entertain a motion to find respondent noncompliance and respondent committed compliance by the next cutoff date, August 1st, 2018, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 a day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Well, motion, Mr. Harrington. Second, Mrs. Himes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. All right. Do we have any miscellaneous business?
Any news on the member? Any news on the new member?
Oh, that's right.
No,
I don't think
we don't know whether anybody's applied or no. Okay. Okay.
Madam Chair, I did want to mention one thing. I noticed the couple of times it's been brought up the concern of the time gap between when the respondents are being notified and when they come before you. And just as a reminder, and it's kind of more of a workshop type of thing that we've kind of talked about before, the process is that these inspectors go out, and some of them may notice various ways, but when they send the certified mail notification, then the person has time to pick it up, and then they allow them this reasonable time to comply with
right.
it, often at least 30
right.
days.
Right.
And if they're making progress, then they work with them
right.
because that's their first effort is to get them resolved without making it a case that comes before you. Once they realize that it's not something where progress is adequate and they realize that they need a stronger hand, then that's when it's brought
mm-hmm.
before the
mm-hmm.
board. So that's where these gaps are. And it's not intended to slight you in any way or to create
right.
any unnecessary delays, but only to try and get it remedied without piling everything that comes before them before
mm-hmm.
you. Hopefully they're diplomatic in such a way that they can get some folks to do what they need to do without having to put
right.
out the hammer.
Right.
Yeah, again, my experience around the county, you guys do a really excellent job in getting the cases to fruition and resolve one.
Yeah, it's gotten a lot better, I think. I mean, a couple months to me is, I mean, you go there, you look at it. Yeah, I mean, the process is the process, and you say, can you have this fixed up? And here's 30 days, fix it up, and I'll come back. And then, so it looks like it's, I mean, it's when it gets over 6 months or, you know, really drags and drags and drags. That,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And then we're forced to have to acknowledge something may have fallen into
right.
the cracks
exactly.
or one move that didn't
yeah.
move, you know. But, yeah, I just wanted to make sure. I know
okay.
that y'all in general, but just kind of
yeah.
bring that up because
okay.
I know it was a concern that's been raised a couple of times this year.
All right. Anything else? Meeting adjourned.
Anything.